would, let's stand and open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, Matthew 28, and verse 1. And then while you're going there, you might want to, if you are able, sneak over to Luke 24, verse 1. So Matthew 28, Luke 24. And if you can't do that at all, then don't worry, look to the screens. You can read along with us. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Bible. If you don't have that version, then go ahead and look at the screens. But let's put our sandals on and let's don our robes and let's go back 2,000 years ago to an actual, man, I love saying this, factual event. You say, well, how do you know? Well, listen, first of all, I wasn't there, but I know people who were there. I've read their account. Number two, Rome was a real stickler on writing things down. And all the events regarding the resurrection of Christ were even written down by secular recorders. The resurrection of Christ is one of those great reasons why, as Christians, our faith is founded upon fact. And since that resurrection Sunday morning, Jesus continues to transform lives and shake up even the kingdoms of the world. And I love it. I love it. Matthew chapter 28, and again, I will read the odd-numbered verses. Join out loud with me in the even-numbered verses. I'll start Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And his countenance, his face, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Luke chapter 24, if you would. Turn there or look to the screens. Luke 24, beginning at verse 1. I'll read the odd-numbered verse, and you continue on in the even-numbered verse. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And the words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Being 2,000 years removed from the events, we cannot but read these things with smiles on our faces. We know how this goes. to those then and there at the time. So much emotion, so much dynamic. And Father, we just today are beside ourselves with gladness of heart. The reality of all that we're talking about, we are grateful for. And we ask now that you would literally possess us, Lord. Possess our minds and our spirit in this service, this gathering. And Father, we know and trust that the gospel will be clearly presented. It's up to you to anoint it. We look forward to that. We trust you for that. But Father, outside of that, we pray that each and every one of us would make a decision about it. Some yes, some no. But Father, may you today inhabit now the praises of your people. We ask it in the name of the risen Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You look around the world right now, and I can't think of a greater Sunday morning than now to be in church. The world is seemingly going crazy. My phone is going crazy with push notifications of North Korea doing another rocket missile launch that fails, and Japan fearful of global war now. NATO dispatching NATO troops to Lithuania because of threats that are happening. Syria, Israel, Iran, the areas of the Middle East unsettled. China threatening North Korea. The United States threatening North Korea. All that's happening, craziness. And I look around the world and I just watch this week's events unfold and I just thought, thank God, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. It doesn't matter what goes on in the world. And all this week, starting last Sunday, we gave a message regarding Palm Sunday, a remarkable prophetic day. Palm Sunday, for those of you who are here and you don't believe in God, I can actually sit down and prove to you that God exists from the events of Palm Sunday. I say that not delusionally, I say that factually. That's why I'm a Christian, by the way. My faith is founded upon fact. I can show you. And you would say, well, that's because it's written in the Bible. No, wait a minute. I can show you, for starting with last Sunday, in Palm Sunday, that God gave his word, and then God tested us to see if we would follow his word. God makes appointments with people. He makes appointments with the human heart. God's made an appointment with you. As a believer, or maybe you're not a believer, in all of your life, I want you to know right now, regarding the sovereignty of God, he's been working in your life by appointments. They could be tragedies. They could be disasters. God is still at work. He may not cause them, but he'll use them. God desires to work in your life. And starting with Palm Sunday and all through Passion Week, we've been bringing you messages about God having appointments at various stations along the history line of this week. And there are things that are undeniable. The reason why I say undeniable is because it's not just a biblical thing. The world watched what was going on in this time of history. And then it's a science. There's a science to it. God wrote these things down in advance. And today we come to this concluding celebration of Passion Week, Resurrection Sunday morning. And we're going to be looking today over the fact that Jesus had an appointment beyond the cross. Aren't you glad? Beyond the cross. Jesus didn't end at the cross. Listen, if Jesus would have died on the cross and stayed dead at the cross, we would have said things like this today. He was a great prophet. By the way, have you ever heard somebody say that? Oh, Jesus was a great prophet. Listen, if you leave him on the cross, then I'll agree with you. He's just a great prophet. If you leave Jesus on the cross, I would agree with you. There's been no greater moral teacher in all of the history of man than Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. And if we leave him on the cross, he was the most moral teacher there's ever been. His words have changed nations to this moment. But thank God that after the cross on Friday, there was a resurrection Sunday morning. Jesus is risen from the dead. And listen, not only did he do that, but he said he would. Now that changes everything. He's not a prophet. He's not a moral teacher. The Bible says, keep your eye on him. 2,000 years ago, everybody was drawn to know the scriptures. Keep your eyes on Jesus, for the Bible says that he is God manifested in human skin, that he would be betrayed, sold in the hands of sinful people, beaten and crucified. And Jesus himself said, according to the scriptures, on the third day, he'll be resurrected from the dead. What do you do with this stuff? Well, let's go to those scriptures. The appointment we look at today, beyond the cross, number one, is that it's according to the scriptures. Mark that down, if you would, in your memory. Regarding this resurrection day, it's all according to the scriptures. The Bible says that we as believers have not made these things up. We did not follow, listen, cunningly devised fables. These are not stories. Everything that we celebrate today was written down previously in what's called Bible prophecy. So there's three questions under each point that we want to look at today. According to the scriptures, Jesus had an appointment beyond the cross. Well, number one, we want to ask this question. Who made those appointments? The appointments that we talk about and we have been talking about all week, who made them? Well, according to Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the church in Greece, in Corinth, Greece, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he answers who made the appointment. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the, what everybody? Scriptures. You can say it. You're all right. You can be loud today. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the what? Scriptures. The Bible said keep your eye on Christ. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. He would be born with all of these prophecies laid out before him. And the Bible says, watch him. According to the scriptures, how would you tell? Well, he would die according to the scriptures for our sins. With all the religions in the world, and all of them demand that you be a very, very good person, you cross all the spiritual T's and you dot all the spiritual I's, and then you might make it into nirvana or paradise or something. And they're all you-based. You. You do it. You work hard enough. You go through the hoops and jump the hoops. And you do all your things. And then we'll see if you get to heaven. You blow yourself up as a martyr and maybe you'll be accepted. Listen, not Christianity. Christianity is all about what he's done. He came, according to the scriptures. He died on the cross. And he rose again from the dead. That's why we're here. He rose from the dead. And the Bible makes it very clear that Christ had an appointment. And that appointment is the biblical record of his very mission of his life. And God made that appointment. Jesus was obedient to everything the Father had given him to do. And Jesus kept the appointments. According to the scriptures, we ask this question regarding beyond the cross. Secondly, is what was the appointment for? Why did Jesus Christ have to die? And why was this resurrection day so important? Again, Paul writes to the believers in Italy, in Rome. And in Romans 4:25, he says, Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and he was raised because of our, or for our justification. Again, Friday was something. But Sunday, Jesus rose for our justification. Listen, on Friday, he was paying the price for our sins. We covered that on Good Friday. Today, the empty tomb in Jerusalem guarantees your justification so long as Christ lives. How long is Christ going to live? The Bible says forever. He lives forever. And you need to understand that what he invites you to do. Listen, no religion could engineer his resurrection. Wasn't supposed to. Jesus shattered religions. He rose from the dead sovereignly by the power of God, as the scripture had foretold. And the Bible says that all of us who put our faith in him shall be forgiven of our sins. And listen, by his resurrection, we are justified. He does that. You say, well, Pastor, I get that. Okay, I believe, and so I can't save myself, but how do I justify myself? You can't do that. Listen carefully. No, there will be something for you to do today. Something for you to respond to. At the end of this message, to God's appointment, maybe he has an appointment with you. And you'll know that By the end of today, you'll know one way or the other. God will speak to you. I trust him. I know he'll speak to you. But you'll have to decide on what you do with his voice to you. But you're not here by accident. It was God who made the appointment. It was God who showed us what the appointment was for. And the Bible also teaches us that the appointment has an effect. Christ being resurrected from the dead continually to this moment changes people, which changes nations. All around the world, there are countries where this service could never take place. This Bible could never be read. Listen, I don't know all of you. Some of you are new for the first time. Think about that for a moment. Use your mind. Why would nations in the world outlaw Christianity? You know, they'll tolerate other religions because why? Because those dictators know it doesn't do anything in the lives of the adherents. But you can't let those Christians in here. I'll just say, I know of a church that for years has smuggled Bibles into some certain communist nation, acting as tourists. When that church has that ministry going, it's not even announced publicly among those who attend the church. Why? Because the nation where certain people go to give Bibles and materials to the underground church, that nation is terrified of one name. The name terrifies that communist nation. Think of it. Why is it that when dictatorships do one of two things, either number one, they proclaim that the leader is God, or there is no God at all? Think about it. Jesus Christ transforms lives, and you cannot put someone in prison or board them up and think you're going to control their spirit. Jesus transforms people from the inside out. You can't control somebody who's controlled by God. And Jesus wants to control you in love, as you'll hear today, and give you life and hope and joy. Oh no, trusting Christ affects you forever. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says, do you not know, this is awesome, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Some religions build temples and say, God's in there. God builds you and says, I'm in here. He says, I'll dwell within you. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you as a believer. Did you know that? As a Christian, Christ dwells within you. And all around the world today, there are believers who are laying down their lives. A week ago today, in Egypt, Christians were entering into eternity as terrorists attacked the churches and blew Christians up. And then now the Egyptian pastors, you can watch it on YouTube, the Egyptian pastors now are announcing and proclaiming all across the nation of Egypt the gospel. Think of it. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. That tells us this world is not the end all. There's a world beyond. There's an appointment that Christ has for you beyond the cross. And it's life evermore. The second thing we see today is Jesus had an appointment beyond the cross this way, that it was according to himself. Not only according to scripture, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ himself had an appointment. And I want to point this out. Number one, I think it's most, with our limited time today, it'd be the most important thing for many of us to be reminded or to hear. The fact that the love of God had been seen in Jesus. What was the appointment according to Jesus Christ himself? That he had a date with mankind. What's the message that he would be sending? If you had one very short critical moment, what would you tell somebody? You would tell somebody about the love of God. And the love of God is lived out and portrayed and personified in the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ. The love of God had to be seen. That was God's will. The love of God had to be seen. And Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the resurrection, was no phantom. Listen, everybody. He was no phantom. He was no resurrected spirit. That's an oxymoron. Resurrection means physical resurrection. He was not a ghost. He was not some aberration. The resurrected Jesus Christ was resurrected fully, bodily. So says the Bible. The tomb was empty. The Bible even tells us that his scars, even to this moment, remain upon his body. In heaven, think about it. Jesus has his scars. The Bible says in the second coming, when Christ returns to earth, the nation of Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced. And it says, where did you receive these wounds in your body? And Jesus will announce to them. Jesus is scarred right now at this hour. Isn't that amazing? Scars of love. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt, lived among us, and we beheld. John saw, they saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you ought to let that settle in for a moment. John was an eyewitness to the person of Jesus. You and I were not there. He wrote this down. Did you know that though you didn't meet him, I've not met him, we will meet him someday, but did you know that John's record is admissible in court? You could put this on a trial and you could examine his statements. What evidence is there that he actually saw him? Well, the testimony of many others. But the love of God was seen. Listen, when you read the Bible, are you bold enough? If you're not a Christian, are you bold enough to read the Bible? You ought to get bold and read it. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'd love to get a phone call from you when you finished off John. I'd just love to ask you a question. I'd love to ask you this question. What do you think? What do you think? Does God not love you, says the Bible? Oh, he loves you. They could see him. Wouldn't you want to see him? I'm going to ask, listen, I'm asking, don't answer. Because I would argue today that we do see him. Hang on. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, we have seen with our eyes and we've looked upon him. Eyewitness accounts. The love of God had been seen in Jesus. What is the biblical record? Nothing but love. You know, it's fun too. I think this is an act of love as well. Jesus, in an act of love, I believe he condemned religionists. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? People who walked up and they were so spiritually proud and arrogant and they mocked Jesus. They looked down upon Jesus. They thought they were better than Jesus. And even in his love, he dismantled religion. You can't have love without person and personality. The second thing we see is that the love of God had to be felt in the person of Jesus Christ. God came to earth as a person, in Christ, in Jesus. God was revealing himself to us in human skin, in perfection. Jesus picked up where Adam had left off. Our first representative, Adam, came, but he flubbed it up. Then the Bible says the last Adam came. And Jesus Christ, in perfect humanity and perfect deity, fulfilled the law of God. And Jesus satisfied the Ten Commandments. That's what the Bible says. And the moment the Ten Commandments were satisfied, now Christ became our mediator. He was qualified to represent you and I, that we might know the person of God and experience the person of God. And I want you to think about this for a moment. How important to you is touch? You know, I know that some people have different personalities. Some people are touchy. I don't mean touchy. I don't mean that to come that way. Touchy, not touchy. But, you know, some people are more physical than others. And there's a whole plethora as to why that's the case. But listen, as humans, no matter what your personality is, you were designed by God, having been created in his image, to not only touch, but to be touched. Did you know that? By the way, listen, people who are not touched, they turn out to be weirdos. Did you know that scientists have done tests with animals. They have one little monkey that's born from mama monkey, and mama monkey touches baby monkey, and then they take the other, his little brother, and they put him in a box, and they feed him and everything, but they don't touch him. And he grows up to be like a total wacko monkey, and the other monkey that's been touched grows up normal. Did you know that? They've done that with every kind of animal. Listen, humans, we were designed to be touched and to touch. And how often do you read in your Bible that Jesus touched the man? Jesus reached out and touched the woman, or they reached out and touched him. How many times do you read in the Bible that Jesus saw the little children, picked them up in his what? Arms and blessed them. Religion doesn't allow this. It's too personal. It's not reverent enough. And yet if Jesus was here today physically, he would be sitting right down next to you and he would touch you in more ways than one. He would speak to your heart. He would be touching your soul. He'd be encouraging you. If something wrong in your life, he'd be showing you a better way. God touches. And I'm grateful that he touches. I'm more than grateful that he touches. John says again in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning our hands have handled. They touched Jesus Christ. Can you imagine touching Jesus? What was that like? The Bible says John leaned his head on Jesus' chest to hear the heartbeat of Christ. Wow! I want to know that. But wait a minute. Maybe those of us who know Christ know that to some depth. What I mean by that is this, and only listen, I mean this seriously, if you're not a Christian today and you don't get what I'm getting, then you're going to want this. If you claim to be a Christian and you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to become a real believer, a real Christian. But I would like to submit to you that God speaks and God touches in ways that, at least right now, I don't need him to physically touch me. He can speak and touch into the inner part of you to the point where that's enough. Do you know what I mean? When in life, there's the revelation of God so clear to you that you know on the inside that the word of God is true. He's speaking to you. And it's as though God hugs you from the inside out. How do I explain that to you, though? I can't. I can't do it. I can only suggest to you what I'm trying to say is that on the inside, those of you who know him, the Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. Don't guess. Don't pretend. Don't hope. You're to know. And one of those things, the Bible says in Romans that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. I like to look at it like this. Jack, you're mine. And I'm grateful that I don't have some stoic removed God in some ivory palace removed and unknowing of my concerns. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Life makes sense when you know God personally. I'm a failed abortion. 59 years ago, an abortion failure. I'm grateful for that. Listen, I grew up stuttering all my life, being made fun of and ridiculed and mocked, rejected. But now I'm grateful for that. Became a Christian when I was 19. Only then did things begin to make sense. They're still making sense. But let me tell you, I am so grateful that my God is personal. And he allows us to know on the inside what no human can give you. Listen, many people are involved in sex, all kinds of sex, and they think they're crazy about sex. And that's not the thing. Many people are pursuing touch, and they're hungry for that, thinking that this is love. Oh, there's a better way. Many people drink, drugs, pot, do it. I got to feel something. Listen, I understand that, but listen, there's a better way. For you to be touched and to hear him from the inside out will transform your life forever. That's why Christ rose from the dead, to forgive you of your sins and to prepare you for heaven. And he begins now by revealing the word of God to you. For 2,000 years, he's been preparing people. He's not only been seen, he's been felt, he's been heard. The Bible tells us that the love of God has been heard. God announces, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John goes on again in 1 John and says, we have heard him speak. And when you want to know what God is speaking, read his Bible. He's talking to you. The third and final thing today we close with is Jesus had an appointment beyond the cross. And perhaps it's one of the most vivid technicolor revelations found, in my opinion, in Scripture, is the fact that Jesus Christ personally, by the pursuit of his own love for you, pursues you. He pursues you. And here's the third thing on this, is that in his pursuit of you, is according, listen, it's according to all who know him. I want to end with this argument. Jesus had an appointment beyond the cross, and that is according to all who know him. And this ought to be personal. John chapter 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans, or some of your Bible versions say orphaned. I will come to you. The fact that Jesus said that I would come. As a believer today, we go, yeah, we know that. That's because you and I have experienced him already. We, all of us who know him, this is routine for us. For all of us who know him, this is an awesome day, but it's the same day for us every day. It's Resurrection Day. But I got to tell you, Jesus says to some of you this morning, because you don't know this, he says, I'll never leave you orphaned. Is that attractive to you? He said, I will come to you. But you know what's weird? You know when he said this, he's about ready to leave. He's getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And he tells his disciples, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. Oh, I'm going to come to you. Jesus, according to the Bible, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You see, well, how does he come to us? He answers that. Jesus said, I'm going to come to you by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to come inside of you. A moment ago, I read that verse about us being the temple of God. Not religion, relationship, people. This is it. It blows away. It shatters. Anyone knocking at your door, anyone preaching, screaming, yelling, promoting something else. Go ahead, sample it all, read it all, look at it all. It all comes up wanting because none of those gods can live inside of you. In Christianity, Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to be inside of you. Look, I don't want to offend anybody, but I believe this is true. Everyone who says that they are Christians are not. Everyone who says they believe in God, don't. Religion is part of us. We'll pursue it. But how many of us have a true relationship? That's altogether different. But all who know him know that there's an appointment that's beyond the cross. And it's absolutely awesome. He'll never leave you orphaned. And I, for one, and it's worthless to you, but I can tell you right now, if I were held at gunpoint or knife point, I could not deny that that is not true. I'd have to say, it's true. We're going to shoot you if you say that's true. You're going to have to shoot me because it's true. He's never left me alone. Once you've come to Christ, he'll never abandon you. The second thing is that Jesus said that he would open our understanding. You may be here today and say, this is all nuts. That's because your understanding's closed. You are the grand arbiter of your thinking. You are the legend in your own mind. You're the one that determines what is true and what is false. You're the one that declares that there's absolutes, and yet everyone else has their statement, and you say they cannot be absolute, only you alone. You have your worldview. Why is that? Because your mind is so small. Your thinking has been shut down. It is so locked on you, and you've become the authority of your own life. And Jesus says, I know you. You have sought to preserve your life, but those who have sought to preserve their lives will lose their life in the end. But I'm hoping that I'm speaking to those of you today who are saying, you know what, I want to live. And Jesus is saying to you today, give up your life and you'll find it. Open up your heart and mind. And here's what I'm saying. In fact, I'll paraphrase this for time's sake. Your mind is shut down from God without the touch of God. The Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel chapter 24, after the resurrection events, now the day is late in the afternoon, and there's all kinds of hubbub and controversy in Jerusalem and in the surrounding towns and villages. What is it? Some say Jesus is risen from the dead. Rome says it didn't happen. They're investigating it. Their Jewish religious leadership has been bribing people with money to tell them it didn't happen. The guards who were standing at the tomb were literally blown away. You read it a moment ago. The Bible says there was a great earthquake and an angel came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Isn't that a bit of sassiness right there? I love that. There's a great earthquake. Can you imagine the stones rolled away? By the way, the stone was rolled away to let people in. Jesus was already gone. And the angel sat on it. And people began to show up to the tomb. And he's sitting there. I don't know. Forgive me in advance. But I see that angel. Yeah, he kind of digs it in too there at the end. They come and he says, "What are you looking for? Why do you seek the living among the dead?" That's a pretty sarcastic statement. "Graveyards are for dead people. What's wrong with you?" And then, as he sits on the throne, or sits on the stone, there's visitors coming and going. You can read the full gospel accounts. And he says, "Don't you remember?" You can almost see him like this. "Don't you remember that he told you that he was going to be crucified and on the third day rise from the dead? What's wrong with you?" And then the Bible says, and then they remembered. Now, you might have to erase that from your memory, but in that same portion of Scripture, as two people are walking to their home, the Bible says that they were discussing the events of the day, and all of a sudden, Jesus appeared next to them. Just whoosh! And they're walking, and he says, "Hey, why the long face? What are you guys talking about? Why are you so concerned? Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Are you a stranger in these parts?" They didn't recognize him. "Haven't you heard about what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth, great and word indeed. He was mighty. But he was crucified, and now it's the third day. We had hoped that he was the Messiah." And as he walked along, and Jesus said, "Oh, you foolish ones, and so slow to believe in all of what the prophets had said concerning Christ. Ought not he to have suffered and be killed and then on the third day be raised from the dead?" And the Bible says they invited him into their house and they sat down, and it says Jesus reached out, they still not knowing who he was, and broke bread. And it says that the moment Jesus broke bread, their understanding, their eyes were opened, and they saw that it was Jesus. And it says in that second, he vanished from their presence. That's awesome. Someday, God has promised all those who trust him to have a resurrected body like that. Isn't that a beautiful thought to think? God's going to take our bodies and make them brand new. Now, look, if you're young, I mean, you look great today. You look marvelous. All of you look great today. But listen, we need to be resurrected. God has promised through Jesus Christ, and all of us who know him have that hope. We're going to be resurrected. If the rapture doesn't happen where he changes us instantly and we die, the Bible says we're going to be resurrected. Resurrected from the dead, just like him. The Bible says the body that Jesus had, we're going to have also. How cool is that? See, what does that mean? I don't know exactly, except the Bible says you could touch him. He could touch you. He would eat. They ate. They sat together and ate. And then he walked through the wall. The room was shut and he walked right through. Can you imagine? Just, he's gone. Listen, 8 days after Jesus first revealed himself, 8 days later, because Thomas wasn't there, I don't know what he was doing, goofing off somewhere, Thomas missed the first showing of Jesus. Now, the Bible says, well, the disciples were all in the room, doors and windows locked, because they were men of faith. They're all hiding out for fear. The Bible says, when the room was all shut, all of a sudden, Jesus appeared, and there was Thomas. And Jesus said, "Hi, Thomas." Why? Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I take my finger and plunge it into his finger and my hand into his side." Now, he said that while Jesus wasn't around. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears and says, "Hi, Thomas." And Jesus holds out his hand to Thomas and says, "Here you go." Wow, I'm grateful for Thomas. Are you a doubter today? God can deal with your doubt. But are you open? And how about this? We end with this. Jesus said that he would always be with us. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "I'm going, I'm leaving you guys. Go and make disciples. Preach the word of God. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." our world is going to end as we know it. And that's a good thing. Did you know that not only will California not last forever? I know that's hard to believe. Disneyland's going to be gone someday. No, don't say it. No, it's going to be gone. America's going to be over. It's going to be gone. The continents, the Bible says, all of it's going to be dissolved. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall never die. What an awesome God. But here's the deal. We're all done. Here's the deal. There's a catch. The catch is this. God doesn't want your money. That's ridiculous. He doesn't want your efforts. He despises any religious attempts. He doesn't want your good deeds. They repulse him. There's only one thing that he wants. He wants you, according to the scripture, listen, it's a flow. It sounds like a step or two. It's not. It's an actual flow. For you today to divorce yourself from religion and from yourself and to allow now a personal relationship with the living God to begin to happen in your life. That means that you are to repent of your sin. That means, Jesus, I now recognize you died on that cross for my sin, my lying, my cheating, my adultery, my murder, my love of money, my temper, my anger, fill in the blank. You died there for me. And when you rose again from the dead, you rose again from the dead, imparting to all those who believe your righteousness, justification. God, I want you in my life. Wash me clean. Make me new. Put your spirit in me. Oh God, I want to know that your spirit's in me. And now begin to live your life through me, God. Lord, do this. Listen, Christianity is not what you do. It's what Jesus does in you. And here's the thing. Everyone Jesus invited to know him, he invited publicly. Even Nicodemus at the end came publicly. If you'd like to receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to get up and stand in front of this platform. I won't embarrass you. I won't bother you. You just come and you'll stand. Jesus hung on the cross. You can stand for him if you're going to accept him today. Maybe today you've never gone public with Jesus. You've been a secret believer. And you've been ashamed of Jesus and the Bible. I'm asking you today to take a stand for Christ. I'm asking you today to get up and publicly come and stand here and we'll pray together, all of us together. But today's your day to have your sins forgiven and your faith acknowledged before God and man. So you come now as we sing this song. Don't delay. Hey, listen, I understand there's people in the overflow rooms and in the courtyard. You come too. There's time. Make your way quickly. Make your way here from the other buildings in the courtyard. And while they're coming, maybe there's somebody else out here today. You know that you should be doing this and you're afraid what your boyfriend's going to think, what your girlfriend's going to think. Believe me, it's not worth it. You're wondering what your husband or your wife are going to think if you make this decision. Listen, don't let the fear of man be a snare to you. Don't let it be a trap. We need to fear what God thinks. He's the only one that matters. In this church, I've shared many times that Lisa and I were in Alaska. We were on an Alaskan cruise, and we had pulled into port in this one little Alaskan village with this great cruise ship, and everybody's out running around doing their day. But they told us, listen, you got to be back on the boat because the boat leaves at 5 o'clock. And so, you know, if you're thinking right, that the boat leaves at 5, I got to be on before 5. Does that make sense? The boat leaves at 5. And so everybody went on their way, and then everybody got on the boat, and you know, they've got those ramps that you walk up to go onto the boat. And that cruise ship was blowing and blowing and blowing that horn. And people were coming, and then the machinery, mechanism, whatever it is, began to retract the great walkways that go onto those great ships. And all of a sudden, we saw, you could tell they were a newlywed couple, a young couple, running. They're running. They got their bags and souvenirs, and they're running, and they've got all this stuff. And they're running and they come right up. We watched them. I was watching them. They came right up and they're standing there. And the ship hadn't even left the dock yet, but the way had been removed. And that ship began to pull away from the shore. And that couple stood there in that little village in Alaska as the cruise ship went away. And I asked somebody, what do they do? And they said, well, there's somebody down there that's going to give them information as to what to do. And I thought, how sad, huh? Are their honeymoon and all? You see, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with this. In a moment, we're going to pray. And some of you out there are thinking about this. Let me tell you, the cruise ship is about ready to leave. Jesus is coming. And he ain't waiting. He's coming. Or you could, listen, you could die. You could die. Are you ready to meet God? There's no second chance after the Bible. When the way is removed, that's it. So if that means something to you, you better get up and run. You got like 10 seconds. Make the decision. Do it. For those of you standing here right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, you guys. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. It's not a magic prayer, but if you mean it, God will hear it, okay? Even though you're all praying and it sounds kind of uniform, it's not if you mean it. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows. So you ready? Let this prayer fall from your lips. Let it come out of you. Dear Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me today of my sins because you died on the cross for me. And I'm asking you, Lord, to come inside of me now and to live in me. Because you rose from the dead. And I today, before God and angels, confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Listen. We're going to end in a song. I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you would. There's a little form in the back of your Bibles. We'd love to get that from you guys before you leave. It's just for your name and for us to call you. We want to see how you're doing. We won't bother you, but we want to see how you're doing. You have any prayer requests? Do you have any questions about the Bible? We'd love to get a hold of you. Make sure you do that. But welcome to the family of God. Your lives, I promise, from this moment on, will never be the same. Watch and see. Church, let's end in worship. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.